have a very enjoyable and experienced speaker for you, a gentleman who has basically made the philosophy the core of his life, who has contributed to the organization in many ways, both on the administrative side and on the educational side. He gives classes and seminars, and he has assisted on the, the administrative, the housekeeping side for many years and in many different roles. He brings always an energy, an enthusiasm, and a fresh approach. And I invite you to welcome Evan Farrell to speak to you this morning about living in balance. Please welcome Evan.
Well, good morning, everyone, once again. Welcome to Philosophy School. Our presentation this morning is going to share some insights for your consideration on various aspects of the Cavalarian philosophy, some personal experiences, and some just general ideas for you to consider in the management of your life, management of our lives. Everybody has to manage their life because it is a process of a sojourn in time in which we can either have a happy and harmonious experience are one that is fraught with a lot of challenges. The topic for the focus this morning is on balance. And it happens that yesterday I was out on the Seymour Trail up in North Vancouver, and I was on my bicycle, and I thought, you know, this is really a wonderful example of balance, because it represents symbolically some of the things we have to do in our life in order to achieve the desired result. We have to make certain choices. We have to practice a principle in order to enjoy that benefit. And out of that, then, we gain the freedoms, the sense of accomplishment, and just the general appreciation for what is around us, giving us a perspective to really appreciate what we have in life and the opportunity to live. The opportunity to live, the chance to express a vast universal power. So in balance, it's basically, if you look up whatever source you want to use to find out what balance is all about, it's basically the coordination of a number of different things that work in concert to create a desired result. If you want to walk across the room, then your physical body has to be coordinated with your eyesight and with your inner ear in order to achieve balance so you can accomplish the task. If you want to ride a bicycle, you have to practice the process of balancing on the contrivance in order to achieve your objective. But if everything is all in proper synchronization and in proper balance, you can achieve that, but we have to practice. As I was riding up the trail, I noticed there were some little ones that were struggling on some of the hills. And even on the straightaways, well, the little ones when they're first starting out, as we all did, and in fact, as we work through life, they get on their bike and they've made it. They're on there. They're riding, but they're pretty wobbly. You know, they kind of wobble around and they struggle on the hills and they get tired and there's a little bit of complaining. But when they get to the downhill side, when they've accomplished the top of the hill, well, then everything changes and this is a lot of fun. Well, that's the way it is with each and every one of us, too. As we encounter something new and we try it and we experience the fact that it will give us certain freedoms or a certain opportunity to have a different perspective, at first we're kind of wobbling a little bit, maybe not totally committed to the objective or the try, and perhaps it's not a perfect result. But that's a case of practice and application. And so when we come to look at the alternatives that the Cavalarian philosophy has to offer, we have to appreciate that this is an organization that teaches principles and teaches the process of application and practicing over and over and over again to achieve the objective that we want to have. So what is our objective? What are we doing in life? There are some really common questions that everybody has, and I'm sure that every single one of you are looking at these questions because that is why you're here. And considering the objective of balance in coordinating our lives,
a question comes to mind, well, who am I? How do I really know who I am, what my true purpose really is? Where did I come from? Everybody came from somewhere. All expressions in life come from a process that is an expression of a natural principle. And where am I going? All things in life have a purpose, and all things make a contribution. All expressions in life, if you walk through the forest, there's all these little animals, the trees, the shrubbery, the moss on the ground, everything that's there has a purpose, and it all contributes to life without self. It just contributes because that is the natural expression, that is the purpose, and that is the reason why it is there. That's part of its manifestation, is in its being itself. And how do I get there? If we want to make a journey to Calgary or wherever we decide we want to go, we have to figure out the tools that we need. We need to figure out the route that we need to go and how we're going to accomplish that objective. And of course, in the very beginning, we have to actually make a decision that that is where we're going to go. That is what we're going to do. So that's the same as deciding to have a quality of mental freedom. Or how do I achieve a sense of accomplishment in my life? Or how do I create balanced and harmonious relationships? It's a case of making a decision and working towards an objective to get there. So within the principles of the Cavalarian philosophy, we study the avenue of analysis for understanding ourselves and our relationship to all life. And in our discussion this morning, I'm going to offer some suggestions to you to think about in terms of how to identify and how to connect ourselves to the universal power in life. We need to think about and apply principles that can be very effective in the creation of happiness and harmony within our lives. So the Cavalarian philosophy is basically dedicated to teaching basic principles of life, providing programs that assist every person, regardless of where they come from or what their background is or religious affiliation or whatever. Whatever you come to the table with in terms of your experiences, the Cavalarian philosophy will teach you how to employ certain principles on a systematic basis to create a unique expression within your life that is truly yours, and it will bring a quality of happiness and balance within our lives. This organization is worldwide. It is not just located here in Vancouver, but it's reaching minds all over the world through the internet and also the practice of speakers going to different areas in the world and expressing these principles so others can enjoy them as well. So why are we here? We must be here for some kind of a reason. We're here for some sort of a purpose. As I said before, all things in life have their purpose for being and the fulfillment of some sort of a purpose within life and the overall expression of life. As we progress through life, we're constantly making choices. And in understanding our purpose, then we're educated. We have a power within our mind to make educated choices. So as we look at the expression of humankind on the face of the earth, we'll see that there is this conscious ability to make a choice, even to make the choice of the quality of thought that we are going to think from one time to another. Some people often look at thought and think, well, it's just a thought. You know, it just comes and goes. And it's like pennies. They don't really have a value. You know, if you had a pocket full of pennies, you know, what is it worth? But actually, you know the old puzzle. If you were to take a penny and double it every single day, how much you'd have in a month? Well, that's the way thoughts are. Thoughts compound because thoughts create concepts and create perspectives and allow us to develop power of concentration and the power to pursue ideals and create a quality of intelligence. We can see that when we meet people who have disciplined themselves and actually practiced in a certain area of expertise, well, relative to a certain quality of intelligence. We can see that in our universities, or perhaps you know someone who's a wise person who's shown an example. There are people that, through history, have created a lot of inspiration and led people through a lot of terrible experiences just because they had the ability to create with their mind and show people how to create a better life. So whether we're aware of it or not, we are constantly making choices all of the time. Even the choice to do nothing When I was in college, we would say, well, okay, we've got a management problem. How are we going to solve this? And all we'd list all the alternatives, and at the very bottom, there was always the choice to do nothing. And doing nothing is a choice. And we do make that choice, whether we are aware of it or not. But because through procrastination, the powers in life will take us into whatever direction happens to be the emotional desire or the current propaganda of the time or whatever it is will lead us into a destination. So the most important thing is to create a conscious decision in our life. As we go to the table in a smorgasbord or whatever, you see all these things in front of us. And some of those things we like and some of them we don't like. Some of them are good for us and some of them are not. But we have to be aware of what those things are in order to make an educated choice. And so we maintain the fact that because people are not aware of the ramifications of the quality of thought that they maintain, they're not educated on how to make educated and constructive choices. Therefore, in order to achieve the things we want in life, we need to make the best choices. And so we need to learn how to make effective choices. And that is what determines our destiny. So if we examine life objectively, we find that it operates according to a certain set of principles. All things in life operate according to a principle. A principle is a fundamental truth that expresses over and over and over again. It's a consistent truth that plays out over time regardless of whatever the media says or whatever the profit desires are or whatever the distortions of interpretation. That truth is consistent all the time, and that is a principle. And we can see that there are many, many principles in life that have been discovered through processes of trial and error. Some have been discovered through observation. Others, of course, have been discovered through the intellectual development of humankind to bring those principles into finite reality. Just like the building of a bridge. There are certain principles in building of a bridge, and if they are not followed, the structure fails. And as a result of that, then we have all of the related catastrophes and the loss of life or whatever happens to be disabilities and the disruption that happens through a lack of understanding of the basic principle. Well, that happens in our lives too. If we choose the wrong things to eat or the wrong quality of thought to think, or we have a misconcept of our relationship to life, then it's like we're building a bridge without knowing the principles of how to build it. So as we go through life, there are departures from this knowledge of basic principles. And so over time, then certain things happen in our lives. Perhaps we have confusion. Perhaps we don't have a sense of accomplishment. Maybe our health breaks down. All of these things will come into being because there is a lack of understanding of the basic principle. So the understanding of these principles develops a universal perspective. The ability to step aside or step back from the details and all of the mechanics of living every single day. As people fight their way through traffic and go to work and sit at a desk or at a bench or whatever they happen to do and go home and live through their life, all of these details have a greater meaning, but we need to step back from them in order to gain a perspective to appreciate the values that they have. Otherwise, it becomes very mundane and repetitive. So, therefore, in order to make good decisions, we have to be able to look at life objectively. You know, in management school, we were talking about how to make decisions. And of course, there's always this desire to quantify the decision, to separate the emotion from the actual task at hand or the decision of what we want to do. Of course, emotion plays a large part in the decisions that we make. I'll talk about the effect of emotions and its purpose in later on in the presentation. But the most important thing is to be able to objectively quantify the decision at the time to get the best result. So let's go to the big picture first. Let's look at the allness in life. And so when we look around the room here, we can see there are certain expressions within the room that have form and dimension. We can see each one of us and each of our individual qualities that we have. And when we go outside and we look and see, well, things are bigger outside. There's the trees and there's all the expressions in life and the buildings. And as we get back farther and farther, we can see that there's outlines of continents and there's a form to the earth that we live in. And then we go farther, we can see that there's a large quantity of space. And there is this solar system that is suspended in space and is being held there by the intelligent expression of life. And so what we need to do is understand how we connect to that large quality of life, that how we connect to that large expression of that universal power in life. Behind all things in life, there is a power that is expressing. That is self-evident when we go outside, we see the trees, we can see the shrubbery, and all the animals, everything that is there is all in an expression of a universal power. So religions have tried to identify and define that power through different symbols. And so there's the symbol of God or Allah or Buddha or whatever that quality is that allows people to appreciate and come into, how to say, some sort of a determination of what that power is. Within the Kabbalah philosophy, we look at that power as a universal expression in life. We'll symbolize it with a circle here. And that means that this power is constantly expressing. There is no beginning, there is no end. It is a constant, intelligent expression in life that is coming into being. It comes into being and is expressed on a finite plane. You can see that all around us. It is there because it's tangible. It's knowable in our senses. We can see it, we can taste it, touch it, we can measure it, we can feel it. So it becomes a part of the finite expression in life, but it is an abstract power. And that is all expressing within the finite plane in all types of different stratum of expressions. And so in the very small part, when we were studying biology, there were these little amoeba items. And I was always quite impressed with these amoebas because they're not very smart, but they're a very important part of the evolution of this power. And so in the lower parts, we'll see these little microscopic things that are all a part of the whole process. I never really did determine everything that they do, but they're very important. And as we evolve through the finite plane, we can see that there are many other expressions in life, and some then become more and more complex as we come closer to the abstract. This is abstract here. This is on the upper part of the circle. So as we come closer to the abstract plane or the complexity, we find that there are some intelligent expressions in life that actually can be trained to do certain things. You know, like you can train a horse, or you can train a dog. But a turtle doesn't respond very well. Fish are hopeless. But as we come closer to this, the higher levels in this finite expression, we find that there is expression here of humankind, and it is synonymous with language and mind. And so the unique aspect of humankind is that in its finite expression of this abstract power, it is able to take abstract phenomena, thought, and bring it into a finite expression. And as this power evolves through life, it goes back from where it came, to the power of reason, or the great pool of intelligent expression in life. And so this is a general symbol of this abstract power expressing in life. And so our purpose in this process is much bigger than an amoeba. It's much larger than a dog. It's much bigger than a lot of the animal expressions, because in this area, those expressions are subject to certain laws that restrict their decision-making process. Like, you don't see a beaver saying, well, gee, I don't think I really want, I've never liked dams, I'm not going to build any. They just do it anyway. That's their purpose. But as we come to the human expression, there is this choice. There is this power to make decisions. There is this power to take abstract phenomena and bring it into finite reality. And so then when we look at that, we can see that the actual true value or the true contribution of humankind is intelligence. Of all the things that we can do, and all the things that we basically have stewardship over in the world, is to create this quality of intelligence. And that intelligence is created through the process of taking abstract power and bringing it into finite reality. And it's the same as riding your bicycle, because there is a principle that's involved. And if these things are working in balance, then we have a smooth flow of this vast eternal power into finite expression. And so you can see that there are people in life that actually dedicated themselves into studying many, many different facets of life. And they'll study it in very great detail, all the principles in medicine and how the human body works, and all the things in engineering and architecture, and all types of different expressions. People writing about certain concepts of human development, or looking at the evolution of the quality of mind and languages, and everything has come because certain individuals in life have chosen to study and bring these abstract qualities of life into finite expression. So when we look at this intelligent power as it comes into life, human mind is subject to certain basic principles. The first basic principle is mathematics, because as this abstract power comes into finite expression, it then becomes dimensional. It can be measured. And so when we look around us, we can see there are certain things that are really easy to measure, like we can measure our height and weight and all that sort of thing. Some of us will admit it, some of us won't. But anyway, that power is there. We can measure the quality, the dimensions of a piano. But we can also measure the quality of the expression that a piano actually produces. So there's an abstract quality of sound, and that sound can be measured. So those that understand how to measure it, they get the sound measuring thing. I don't know what it's actually called at this point, but they measure the quality, the wavelength of the quality of music that comes out of the instrument. They can measure the quality of light. You can measure all types of different things on the finite plane that are within the realm of awareness through the principle of mathematics. So you just think about that, is that every single thing that's around us is mathematical and subject to measurement. All finite things are subject to measurement. Another thing that happens is that this quality of intelligence, as it comes into being, then is subject to the law of language. So we're going to talk about a piano, so we have to describe that piano in some way. We have to describe the intelligence that we have in our minds through the process of using language. Try to think about something without using language. It is impossible. Without language, there isn't any intelligence. So that basically kind of puts a little wrench in the theory of the fact that maybe we've evolved from apes. Because I don't know how we could have an ape can become intelligent without language, because if you don't have language, you can't think. And so if you can't think, you don't know what to think. So the human expression is unique, and that it has this power of language, and that language is connected to mathematics and this abstract power that expresses in life. And so when we look at language, we can find that language also has certain interesting qualities about it. First of all, it's a vehicle of intelligence. It evolves over time and usage, and different languages have different qualities or refinements in their expression. Some of the very basic languages are very primitive in the way they express. You know, if you look at the African tribes, their language and the number of words is rather limited. So their quality and refinement and expression is limited relative to the level of quality of the basic expression of language. But the language universally throughout all languages that there are usually always, in fact, it always has order, has an alphabet. And so that alphabet means then that it is dimensional because it follows an order. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All the way through, if you mix up the language, you're not going to have any intelligence. You will get a gibberish of words, and you say, well, we're going to just substitute the A for an H or something like that, and so we're going to create a code. And so there are those that study codes, and they have to decipher those codes in order to create intelligence, and it goes back to the same process of the order of language, the order of the alphabet. So once we look at gain the perspective that our language has dimension or has order, it is mathematical. Then, since we could measure the quality of intelligence of the piano and its finite expression relative to its form and dimension, we can also measure the quality of the music that instrument generates through the process of so many cycles per second and creating different notes and that sort of thing. Now, since thought is a product of the abstract plane coming into finite expression, it too is also measurable because it can be related to mathematics and the order of language. And so that creates a whole different perspective in the quality of intelligence that expresses, because there is one certain thing that is really close to each and every one of us, and that is our name. Our name is a language in a certain order, and that language is connected to this abstract quality of life. So you say, well, how can language be, and the order of letters be connected to intelligence? Well, let's just have a little simple example here. We've got a word, H-A-T. And as soon as I say that word, you automatically have a certain image of, an article of clothing that goes on your head, and it has a certain purpose. Perhaps it's large. Maybe it has lots of decorations on it or whatever it happens to be. But your special hat. So that is a quality of intelligence through the process of association. We have been educated to associate this word with an expression of intelligent power within life. So we change one of the letters, and we're going to change it to C-A-T. Now, we instantly get a different image altogether. We see something entirely differently because that quality of intelligence of hat is no longer there anymore, and now we have this image of a cat. Well, a cat is not something maybe some people put it on their head, but that's not a common thing to do with a cat. Cat has a totally different purpose. And so what's the difference in using a word like David or another word like Charles? If we were educated in what those qualities of intelligence were, like we've been educated what a hat and a cat is, we would see a totally different quality of intelligence. We would see a different list of needs. We'd see a different list of strengths and weaknesses. It will give us an understanding or a dimension in the way that we deal with people that is entirely different than we knew before. Also, it will give us a chance to understand ourselves in a dimension that perhaps we never, ever knew before. And so that's what we're looking at in terms of looking at the balance between this abstract power of life and the finite expression. If these two things are working in concert or working in harmony, we get a free flow of this quality of intelligence in life. If they're not working in harmony, then we get the distortions or the misunderstandings, the confusion, because there isn't an understanding how to bring this quality of life into finite reality. Another aspect of humans that's very interesting is that we live within a quality of time. And time is interesting because it is dimensional as well. There's a certain quantity of time, and our life passes in a certain fashion relative to a certain rate of speed, which is fair for everybody at the same rate. Some people may have more time than others, but nonetheless, the overall sort of justice in life is that the time progresses at the same rate for every person. As we get more mature, it seems like it goes faster than it did before, but really, it's progressing at the same rate. Another thing that happens about time is that there are certain items or certain value that's attached to time, because time represents opportunity. Time gives us a chance to make certain choices and bring those abstract qualities into expression relative to a certain quality of time that is expressing at that period of time. And that's obvious when we look at the quality of the seasons. It's really obvious that there's a difference change in the quality of time when we look at the seasons. And so in the quality or the evolution and the expression of this abstract power in life, it also has a certain quality of time that is knowable through the principle of mathematics. So that principle of mathematics can be used to calculate the quality of time that expresses at a particular time. That gives us power because that also allows us to understand, first of all, a quality of intelligence that was expressing at that particular time when we took our first breath of life. because there is a quality of intelligence of that kind, because it is dimensional, both qualitatively and quantitatively, we can understand that there is a quality of intelligence that is expressing at a particular time. So that's important to each and every one of us, because we took our first breath of life at a particular time. So what is the most important thing to all of us in terms of identification or whatever is your name and birth date. So when we look at the birth date and reduce that to a mathematical quality, because of the fact that we can understand these, this abstract power on the finite plane through our mind, we're able to understand the quality of expression that was present at the time that we took our first breath of life. That's significant to us because that quality then determines how we are connected to this abstract power in life. And so that is unique to each and every one of us. And through our life training programs, you are able to understand how that quality came into being and what sorts of experiences we need to create the most balanced expression of this abstract power within our lives. That gives us power to make certain choices that weren't available before we knew that information. So in understanding what our birth path quality is gives us a whole different insight into how we connect to life and with the decisions that we're going to make to create our happy sojourn through the process of life. That's significant, and that's really important to understand. Therefore, mind operates in concert with mathematics and language, and a significant part of that language is very much a part of every single thing that we do and every single name that we take. Everybody has a name. If you accept that name, then that is a part of your intelligence. You find that when people call you something else that you don't like, there is a reaction there. It's because a different quality of intelligence is being impressed upon your brain cells that you do not want to accept. It's just like taking somebody else's article of clothing and putting it on. It just doesn't feel right. That's because we are close to those qualities of intelligence. And another thing that happens is that through the understanding of the quality of mind, which is the creative power in our lives, because that is the part that is making decisions and making our choices, and the quality of our inner potential, which is the inclining power, we're able then to make choices that allow for that expression, that inner potential. And that is where the core of satisfaction in life and happiness evolves from. That's where the seed of intelligence grows into a quality of intelligence that is either straight and true and tall and proud and filled with integrity, or is compromised because of the desires of a name or a quality of it's like using a cat for a hat. The same thing. If you had the name of, there could be all kinds of names that create tension, create bitter experiences. There are names that create limited in perspective, create one to make choices to go into environments that create lots of hard work, sometimes lack of color, lack of inspiration. And so in understanding name and language and the overall expression of this abstract power in life, we're able then to use that information to bring different qualities of intelligence or experiences within our life that allow us to develop and evolve into a happy and harmonious expression in life. Therefore, in the evolution of mind, mind is the most important thing. It is everything for a human being. You know, a dog or a cow or anything, they don't have to worry about the quality of their mind. Their purpose is set. Their quality of intelligence is bred within them from the time that they took their first breath of life. That is their quality of intelligence, and they follow that route unless it's interfered with or, how would you say, modified through human intervention, which is, of course, is a stronger power than the instinctive power. If once it goes wild, it goes back to its original expression in any case. So mind contains the power which is greater than humankind beyond finite analysis. So in the Kepler and philosophy, we're going to be studying the qualities of mind, the fascinating journey into understanding human intelligence. And as you study life analysis training and understand the qualities of your own mind, that gains we gain a perspective that is much different than we had in the beginning, as well as all those that are around us we see in a much different way than we did before. That provides balance and harmony. It creates a lot more how would you say, friendly and harmonious and productive relationships with other people. And it gives us a much stronger sense of commitment, or sense of accomplishment, depending, of course, on the commitment we have to applying the principle. So the mind is developed through discipline and education. And so as we go through life, we are exposed to certain experiences, and those experiences educate the mind or create an awareness of certain qualities of intelligence. So if you want to learn how to build a bridge, go to the library and get a book on building bridges. And if you read enough about those, you can go out and build your own bridge. And that's the way that it is. We educate our mind through education. We create awareness within our mind through education. Discipline is like taking a plant and grooming it to grow in a certain fashion. And through discipline, then we're able to take the raw expressions in life and groom that expression to create a constructive, progressive, accumulative, accomplishing quality of intelligence. So why do we do this? Why would we go through all this trouble when we could just go home and just, read a book or, do something else that doesn't require this inquiring process and this educational process? We can just live through the process of life and just have a good time. And that's what a lot of people do. And so when they come to the idea of thinking, discipline, I have to give up stuff. And I often wonder, as I sort of mature through life, if really we're giving up anything. Because really when we look at life in terms of disciplining or making choices or giving up one thing for another, we're basically giving up one thing, maybe, but we're getting something else in return. So really, are we giving up anything? We're really just exchanging one thing, maybe it's a desire, for another thing. Like say, for instance, someone has a challenge with smoking. So, I have to give up smoking. Well, in exchange for that, you live longer. Now, that sounds like a pretty, maybe it's a little sarcastic, but it sounds like a pretty good choice, really. So if we look at that, I have to give up a temper. Well, if you give up a temper, then we have more time to create happiness or be more creative or be more objective. And so in the process of discipline or making choices or making changes, it may seem difficult because we're just used to those patterns and the way we do things. But if we become aware of the fact that there is a better way and a more constructive way, and a way that we can create something that's unique for ourselves, that is intelligent, that is strong, that is true and pure, then really, are we giving up anything? That's a question I ask you to decide for yourselves. But why would we do this? Well, it creates more peace of mind. It gets rid of all the noise, the confusion. As we go through life, even students of many years, sometimes there are challenges come in life, and those challenges are like noise that is kind of banging in your head. And, it's demanding time and it's demanding attention. There's a certain pain that's associated to that, whether it's pain of regret or the pain of a physical ailment or, an accident or whatever it happens to be. There is this quality of confusion, and it's like a noise. And so we have to be able to quell that noise and create peace, create a tranquility, because through that tranquility creates a balance that allows for a natural flow of constructive expressions within our life. It also allows us to be much more in control of our health, to choose things that are going to give us vibrant health. And it is amazing how even the smallest of choices can have a lasting and dramatic effect on our lives. I read an article written by Mr. Parker, and he was talking about someone had a problem with their health, and they would put sugar in their tea. And so he saw them putting, two or three teaspoons of sugar in their tea. And so then one day he decided he would measure out a year's worth of sugar. And they had it sitting on a big pile on the table. And he said, well, there you go. There's how much sugar you're eating. And nobody really thought about it that way. But little things like drinking water every day, it's a very small thing, but it can have a tremendous impact on the quality of our health. I even read an article, you can extend your life by, I think it's 2 or 3 years, even if you brush your teeth every day. Now, oh, sure, they can take statistics and you could practically have anything, you know, how many times you comb your hair, you're going to live, you know, 10 years longer or whatever it happens to be. But little things all contribute. And so every single thing that we can do to create constructive maintenance of this only thing that we have of one of the physical body, then that is a good thing. And so cleansing the body through proper hygiene, inside and out with water, eating proper foods that are going to create vibrant health, just making different choices, just choosing one thing over another. I had one lady one time ask me, I had been on an exercise program, I lost a bit of weight, and she said, well, what do you do when you feel hungry? Well, you eat. But I said, you know, it's a case of making a choice, making a different choice. If you're hungry, instead of choosing a Snickers, then you choose, you know, some vegetables or some other thing that is going to create the satisfaction of the hunger, but give a much lasting, longer energy source, and it's better for the physical body and won't accumulate so many calories. Well, she was just responding to the hunger. And so eating fast foods and making different choices was something that was a challenge in controlling the weight. And, of course, the energy and everything else that goes with it. So it can affect our health tremendously, creating harmonious relationships with other people. When you understand why Dan is blunt, then that's not really a big deal. It sounds like he's being really rude, but really that's the way that he is. And in his mind, he thinks that's the way everybody else is because that's the way that he looks at life. Because we all look at life from our self-perspective and basically start from there in terms of evolving into something greater and something more, aware or conscious around us. We can create financial freedom in balance. You know, the whole process within our economic system is good, and then it creates incentive for people to develop and evolve and that sort of thing. But it also creates an opportunity for greed. And greed, when we read it in the paper, all the BC Rail scandals and all the skullduggery and everything that happens in life that is basically unfair is a result of greed, which is another expression of self. And so financial freedom is one of those things that we need to gain a perspective and a balance so that we don't sort of dive right in and immerse our life into that one aspect of our existence. Because we're doing that at the expense of a whole bunch of other things that may be a lot more important. So in developing this conscious understanding and this balance within the expression of life, we're creating more, a chance to create more worthy goals and ideals and pursue those and bring other dimensions within our life. Create more self-knowledge and understanding and the pursuit of personal fulfillment and actualization. So basically the things that prevent us from achieving the things that we want are, one, a lack of education. We just don't know. Individuals don't start their life and say, you know, the thing I'd like to do is create the most miserable experience I possibly can. I haven't met anybody that said, well, that was my decision. That's what I wanted to do. But through a lack of education and knowledge, we make the choices that can create confusion and can create a lot of misery and misunderstanding in our life. So we can observe many examples of how a lack of education places limitations on people. We can see total countries that are living in poverty because people just don't know that there are other choices to make than what they're making. Education does not only relate to economic resources either. It relates to the quality of intelligence within the race. Humankind has been lost in the pursuit of scientific and economic goals for centuries due to a lack of education relative to the universal principle in life. That's because that's all that we know about. If that's all that we do, that's all that we think, that's all that we worship, then basically that's all that we're going to have. And so then what happens is that the society evolves and becomes really advanced economically, and they're very competitive and dominant, but doesn't create a quality in society that adds dimension relative to the quality of life and appreciation for other things. So the pursuit of these graven images, as we find in the scripture, or illusions in life, creates a misunderstanding or a misguided process in the choices that we make. Therefore, if we want to make wise choices that beneficially affect our destiny, we need to educate our mind. And so that's why we're here. We're here, first of all, I'm here to share these ideas with you, to inspire you with the idea of looking for a different perspective. If you are new to this idea, then I would encourage you to look at it and study it and read it. Come in and take the classes. Discuss things with other members that have experience in this process of education. And you will find it will give you a very different perspective that is very inspiring and very fulfilling. If we are members that have been practicing for a long time, this is the call to say, this is a good thing. And we need to incorporate more of this in our life every single day. You know, just in me telling you about this, I'm all fired up. You know, I think that it's a wonderful opportunity. And basically, it's just studying natural phenomena. This is nothing that's made up by anybody or created for anybody's profit or anything. Oh, there's certain costs of, you know, doing the course and all that sort of thing. I mean, we have to be realistic about things. But the thing is that these are natural, reoccurring truths. These are principles in life. And what we do then is we educate our mind, and our mind becomes like a garden. And that quality of intelligence grows. And as we go through life, then we can gain more awareness of how we can create more harmony and more growth and more, how would you say, refined expression within that garden. Management of emotions. All the various emotions that we have in our life are very important to the way that we get through life. If we didn't have emotion, we would be colorless. We wouldn't have any motivation. We wouldn't get very excited about anything. We wouldn't fall in love. The race would die out and everything would, you know, it would all kind of go quiet. We have to have that emotional quality. That's very much a part of the way that this expression integrates in the finite plane. But what, as a human being, we need to be intelligent about those emotions and manage them by making choices that allow those emotions to add value to our life. You know, things like jealousy and temper and all those things that basically take our mind into an area of, oh, I am right, but at that expense, then we're forfeiting the opportunity to say, I am happy. Or I am fulfilled, or gee, this is a fun ride. You know, it's just like getting on your bike and enjoying the freedom of just being able to just be out, away from everything, and just be free. Just be enjoying the experience of being in life and being a part of life. So within the Kabbalah philosophy, we also talk about and study how we can create habits that are going to create balance and moderation in our emotional expressions. Oh, we're not giving up anything. We're not saying that we're not going to be human or we're not going to fall in love or be inspired or, you know, create something, you know, wonderful in art or music or whatever. Those are all evolution or how would you say, refinements of that emotional power that is there. We're just going to say, well, let's make some choices that we can combine the intelligent expression of mind to that raw emotional energy that motivates us, that creates that ability to see something new and get excited about something and actually create some balance within our life. Basically, all that those emotional power does in terms of creating dissension and bitter experiences is a lack of discipline. It's the same power, and every single person has that same power all the way through life. It's just the choices of what is done with that power that determines whether there's a constructive, harmonious expression in life, one that creates and accumulates and provides a contribution, or one that is lost in the mire of emotional addictions and the covering and the burying of this abstract power that was born within us in a confusion and a haze and a fog that doesn't allow it to express. So I can see I had a lot of things I was going to share with you. I'm going to skip ahead here a little bit because I'm running out of time. But as we go through life, we can see that there's more to it than just existing. And so when people come to an organization like this, they might say, well, what about spirituality? You know, what is our perspective on spirituality? Lots of organizations, you go all the way down Oak Street, and they all have a different interpretation of spirituality. And some places, someone's going to say, well, this is where your spirituality should be, and this is what you have to do. Well, I'm going to suggest that spirituality is basically your own fruition. If we understand this quality of expression, this abstract power, this vast universal power in life, and how to bring that power into constructive expression in the finite plane within our mind and all the things that we do around us, then we will create a quality of power of intelligence that is uniquely our own. And so in understanding our connection to this power and bringing it into finite reality, that creates a spiritual fruition. And so for those who want to go beyond just creating a happy, harmonious life and actually make a contribution that is respected and is adding to the pool of intelligence for generations to draw on in the future, which is what has happened in the past, because every intelligent thought that we think has obviously been thought by somebody else before, or it would not be there. So it's all a part of this vast universal quality of intelligence, and we can make a contribution to that intelligent quality of life. And so that's where the quality of spirituality or the value in religion should be. A religion should teach us how to find and create that quality of spiritual expression within our life, so that we are actually one with life and creating a contribution that is lasting and permanent. And in doing so, then we enjoy the ride. It's just like getting on your bike and saying, well, I have done all the practicing and I've learned how to use this principle. And so then we can go for the successful ride of our life. And so as we come into life, this whole life experience basically is like a ride on your bike. It is actually an experience where there's many, many, many different facets that we can go down. You can explore down any trail that you want. You can want to choose the good trails. Some of them are more challenging than others. Oh, there's going to be hills. They're always hills. But those hills test our resolve. And as we work towards accomplishing and, how would you say, strengthening our resolve to create balance and harmony in our life, then the hill doesn't seem quite as big the next time we come to it. But if we give up and we don't climb the hill, it'll always be there for us whenever we want to approach it again. But it gets bigger and bigger as we avoid the issue of actually accomplishing it. So things like integrity, creativity, love, and understanding are permanent expressions of reason. And they are ours for the getting if we choose to make the choices to bring those into reality. So what do we do from here? It's entirely up to each and every one of us as to what our choice is going to be. We can leave here and say, well, that's kind of interesting, but I don't know if that's for me. Or we can say, well, you know, there's something here, and I think that I should stop and really have a close look at this. This is really significant. And this is very, I say, material in the future of each mind within society. To have the power to make choice, to have the power of creating awareness, and knowing step by step how to create that expression within our lives is very, very significant. It's just like that teaspoon of sugar. As you think a thought that is more constructive than the one that you thought yesterday, then that mind grows, and through the accretions in mind, that mind can grow larger and larger and larger and larger. This is a big opportunity. So we would encourage you to pursue greater investigation towards a larger perspective, a universal perspective. We would encourage everyone to develop a greater knowledge of the principle of life, as it is the source of all power. All fundamental freedoms and liberties come from the knowledge of how the universal power expresses within our life. Conscious awareness is the key to all things, the power to make choices, because we become aware of the constructive alternative. We encourage everyone to plan for constructive change and make it a goal and take action toward our goals. Life is what happens when we're making plans, so time is of the essence. So in conclusion, I'd like to say that every day we have opportunity to explore more avenues of awareness in life. And what if we don't do this? The time will pass. That's a sure thing, the time will pass. So whether we do it today or tomorrow, we're going to be the same age anyway, so we may as well learn and enjoy the good ride along the way. The only thing we have in control of is what we do with our time in life. What we do today is the one thing that we have control of. We don't have any control of the future. We don't have any control of the past. We have control of what we have today, right now. We can create anything we want in life if we educate ourselves and take the initiative to make changes of growth and opportunity to apply ourselves consistently. Let us create a life of understanding and harmony, create a life based upon an understanding of ourselves, and evolve into a self-respect that we can share with others. Let us use every day as an opportunity to educate ourselves to as many facets of life as possible, to create a large perspective as possible in our lifetime, to allow us to make the most beneficial choices in the development of our destiny toward a happy and constructive future. Earn the right of self-respect for ourselves, the respect for the vast power of reason in life, and the right to a spiritual fruition that we have earned and that we justly deserve. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Evan. I like that thought. Thoughts compound, just like money. We have 6 brief announcements and a closing song. First, there is an open house here at 5912 Oak Street this coming Thursday from 5 to 7. If you know of anybody who would be interested in chatting and finding a little bit more about this philosophy, encourage them to drop in and have a visit. No obligation, no cost, just they're welcome to come. For student members of the society, we have a big opening function next Saturday night, the 19th of September, and if we haven't already done so, we're encouraged to sign up. I think if you look in the foyer, you'll find a list. And the final weekend of September, both Saturday and Sunday, we have all-day seminars running here at 5912 Oak Street, life analysis training and cycle management training. And this is an opportunity if you or anyone you know would like to take that first step and study what this principle is about. You can enroll for that weekend seminar, and after 2 days of intensive focus, you will go out with an understanding of the basics of the mathematical principle as it relates in the life analysis course to name and mind, and in the cycles course, how it relates to time and your ability to merge your efforts and your goals with the natural rhythms functioning through your life. Anyone in the office would be very happy to talk to you if you'd like to get a little more information. The next thing is that our next morning philosophy class is here, October 4th, same time, 10 a.m. And by the way, I'm using the clock at the back of the hall, so if it doesn't match your watch, we're still operating according to time. The next point is that we would appreciate some assistance from some of the gentlemen. The convener of next Saturday's event would love to have a little help getting some tables from the lower level up to the classroom area here. I think they want 2 8-foot tables and 3 7-foot tables, but for details, check with Michelle Richardson or her helpers. And finally, you probably know already by the aromas, there's a brunch today. You are warmly welcomed. It's by donation, and it smells pretty good. Hope you can stay to be with us. So finally, to close, we're going to have a song, and that's another custom that we have in the philosophy. At our morning philosophy classes, we finish with a song, and quite often we use one that is part of our legacy from the era of the founder, Mr. Alfred J. Parker. That's one of this morning's songs. This morning's song belongs to that category, Bless This House, page 12. As an interesting exercise, while you're singing, you might enjoy working out some of the symbolism. Mr. Parker interpreted many of the songs of his day, and we can sing about a building, Bless This House, but you can think about how the symbology actually refers to your physical instrument, which houses your inner spark. Evan, would you come and join me, and we'll sing Bless This House.
Thank you.
see you all downstairs. Whoop. And good morning.
The moderator has left the conference.